if this keeps up, dead wrong on him, because I thought his days...
Whoa. Are you actually admitting you were dead wrong on something? Oh, okay.
I do this many, many times. You're in the 06010 Focus. It's one of the most popular fantasy podcast shows. Focus. They bat it, say they can. Matthew Berry. Talented Mr. Roro. Bob Hader. Whenever when the man's leading. ESPN. What are you doing with these guys? No wonder they won two podcast awards. All around the world, let's put it on. A jam-packed show here on Wednesday morning, Matthew, on the 06010.
That's right.
We have lots of news to get to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Big news night. We had a bunch of under-owned pitchers pitching really well. A bunch of guys stealing bases that maybe weren't expected to.
I got to tell you something. If I got to play every single one of my games against the Red Sox, I think I'd get 20.
I think you would, too.
Yeah.
We have Red Sox putting two outfielders on the DL, so we got to talk about the impact of that. Mr. Carlos Beltran, there's news on him. We're going to have Stefania Bell on to talk about that.
And the Stefania Bell always in
the
studio.
The Stefania Bell, and we'll be calling Bizarro TMR a little bit later in the show.
Right.
To get his update on the man's league. But Pod Vader has a clip for us, and apparently this clip, are you ready to play it right now? Okay, apparently this clip, this is about the Kevin Gregg, Jason
yes.
Fraser, the new war by the shore. It runs about a minute and a half. So if you don't care about this, you're going to want to skip ahead a couple minutes here.
Well, I've gotten a lot of tweets and emails, people concerned about Jason Fraser. Because
then
Kevin
they're just,
Gregg,
I'm sorry, those people are idiots.
Right.
Those people are idiots, and they're not paying attention, and they're not following ESPN underscore fantasy on Twitter.
Right.
Because
Fraser
Kevin
pitched
Gregg's
3 days
first
in a row.
Save happened because he pitched 3 days in a row.
Correct.
And the second one happened because he pitched the next day.
Right. But I think
I'm sorry, you're idiots. If you're
well,
asking that
hang
question.
On though.
Idiots.
No.
Idiots.
I disagree, Nate. Can't you argue? And I think this is what some of the argument was. But then the next one, Fraser can't go 2 days in a row. Is it now an alternate? Is it every or? Do you believe Jason Fraser is 100% the closer?
I believe Jason Fraser is 100% the closer, and so does everybody associated with the Blue Jays. It was three
That's
in a
fair
row.
Question.
It was three in a row, and then a game off. So it was basically what was it on the 11th that Kevin Gregg got a second save yesterday? He had pitched 1, 2, 3. He'd pitched three out of the preceding 4 days. So that's all it was. That's all it was. Does Kevin Gregg get 10 saves this year? Maybe.
Yeah.
If the Jays keep winning this many games, I mean, that's the thing, right?
Yeah, break up the Jays.
I mean,
Alex Gonzalez, Vernon Wells.
But that's really the bigger thing. The Blue Jays have 5 wins already, right. And they've gotten 5 saves in those wins.
Which is crazy.
So.
But, I mean, to that point.
And listen.
Jason Fraser, 3 saves. Kevin Gregg, 2.
Jason Fraser could lose his job at some point.
Sure.
That's certainly possible. But for now, Fraser is the guy.
I would agree if you're asking someone to own, but I think, you know, it's a legitimate question to bring up.
Is that it, Pod?
That's it.
Oh, I thought there was something else there. He's like, there's going to be a way for you at the end to, like,
well, of course there's a way for you to weasel out of it. You said at the end, Jason Fraser, could he lose his job? Of course he could.
On yesterday's show.
You said the word idiot like 16 times in that clip.
I've never denied that.
Right.
I've never denied. But, Jay, on yesterday's show, didn't you say that you thought
My paraphrasing was.
You thought I said something like, yeah. I don't know. And
you
I
did,
said, if I said that, I will come on the show and admit I'm wrong.
Right. You did say that not only did. Great.
Matthew Berry just tore. He's so angry about this.
Yeah.
And so powerful. That he just tore his microphone right off the little hanging thing.
Yeah,
awesome.
I moved it near my
No, you're a powerful man.
Yeah.
Don't be modest.
Don't let modesty
work its way into your vocabulary now. After all these years.
By moving it closer to me, it fell down.
All right.
But anyway, here's the thing, Nate.
Yep.
Is that no? You said that everyone was an idiot. Fraser was the closer of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Right.
And not only did you think that, everyone else with the Toronto Blue Jays thought that.
Right.
The day you said that was Monday, April 12th.
I believe it was the 13th, but whatever.
No, you were out the 13th. The date was Monday, April 12th.
Okay. I think you're wrong, but okay.
No, for that, Matthew is correct.
All right.
Thank you. As I am
but he stated he doesn't need a calendar.
Okay, so I said that on Monday morning, April 12th, and then that night, Fraser blew another save.
Correct.
Okay.
And by the way, he hasn't gotten a save since that day.
That's true. The Blue Jays changed their mind.
Yeah,
here's the thing we have to do here, Matthew, because this changes nothing. So I think what we have to progress to is, and the great thing about this is we always turn this into something, right? The Bush-Zito thing became the war by the shore. Those people are idiots. Well, we have that drop, so we turn it into something.
Which is great.
We need to advance to the Wunderlich test.
What are you talking about?
We said this yesterday.
I'm more than happy to do the Wunderlich test. That's great.
No, it's the people that are called idiots that are going to have to take the Wunderlich test.
Oh, that's right. I remembered.
If they can prove they're not idiots,
you will apologize.
I will apologize and say that I was wrong.
Right. You were wrong, by the way.
I was wrong.
You were. Thank you, Pod Vader. You were dead wrong on this one. It's embarrassing how wrong you were.
All right, Matthew, let's whip through some news quickly. First, in the suspension category of this morning's The Buzz, Cliff Lee's 5-game suspension rescinded by MLB. I don't know why. It makes no sense, but whatever. Basically, he gets to come back as soon as he's healthy.
That's right. He lives a good, clean life.
Speaking of the opposite of that, Edinson Volquez was suspended 50 games for testing positive for a performance-enhancing drug, and he's going to get to serve the suspension while he's out on the 60-day DL.
Works out for him.
Well, it's going to hurt him in the wallet, but it's not going to cost him any playing time.
No, and in the court of public perception.
Yeah, he's being hung in the court of public perception.
Oh my God, people hate him.
The good news
now
is he's going to be knocked right off of the. He's not even on the front page, but the Ben Roethlisberger suspension will probably be announced today. And
there you go.
And then people will forget all about it in St. Volquez.
Who is this Ben Roethlisberger you speak of?
I don't know, Matthew. All those Mike Napoli owners can rejoice.
Indeed, they can.
Jeff Mathis going on the 15-day DL with a broken right wrist.
Yeah, you know, obviously this is good news for Napoli owners. It's unfortunate for Mathis. But you know what? I mean, they asked Socha in the, I believe it was the Orange County Register the other day. I read this article about Napoli's playing time. And he wouldn't commit to say that one guy was the starter over the other.
Right.
He's just basically like, look, you know, if one guy's starting to hit and play really good defense, that guy's going to play.
Right.
And at the moment, it's Mathis, which is what we'd basically said.
Right.
So, you know, listen. Good news for Mike Napoli owners. I think if you have Jeff Mathis, because I think it's going to be a while. I think it's going to be like 4 to 6 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks is what we're
really even
right
longer.
Now.
It's a broken
wrist.
Yeah, I initially been told 4 to 6.
It's tough for a man to hit 215 with a broken wrist.
Tell a brother something about it, Nate. So yeah, I believe that you can go ahead and safely drop Jeff Mathis, except in deep ale only.
Now here's my question on Mike Napoli. Right, it obviously helps him out, makes him more valuable. Napoli was dropped in a lot of leagues. He's down to 61% ownership. If you own Ryan Domet, would you drop him to play Napoli? ESPN Standard League now, one catcher.
No, I think I'd rather have Domet.
What about Benji Molina, who's 92% owned? And off to a huge start, obviously, hitting .351.
Yeah, at the moment, I ride the Molina.
What about Kurt Suzuki, whose ownership's right about the same as Napoli, actually?
I think I'd actually rather have Napoli. Suzuki's really struggling.
Okay. I'd rather have Napoli, actually, than all those guys except Molina. I'd definitely rather have him than Ryan Domet.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I never bought the Ryan Domet this year.
No. So we'll see. I mean, the thing about Napoli is it's still batting average averse.
Matthew, the Red Sox put both Mike Cameron and Jacoby Ellsbury on the DL.
Right.
Not as big a deal for Ellsbury. He's already been out for, what, 5-6 days? It just confirms that he's going to... And actually, as an Ellsbury owner in a particular league, it almost makes me happy because at least now I know when he'll be back, right?
Right.
Whenever they say he's coming off the DL, he'll definitely be back, as opposed to this, like, you got to make a lineup decision on, say, Monday, and on Sunday you're hearing, well, he might be back Tuesday or Wednesday. You're
right.
Like, well, I don't really want to activate him if he, quote, might be back.
It also means that, listen, we got a long season. You want him healthy.
Yes.
I mean, you know, so you don't want him to come back a little bit too early and tweak it or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, that's good. Mike Cameron on the DL. I will tell you this.
Okay. Tell me.
I think Mike Cameron being on the DL only really affects in deep ale only leagues. But I don't think he should be owned in mixed leagues.
Okay.
10-team mixed leagues.
Okay. I agree.
But I think it hurts Red Sox pitching. Bill Hall is like a butcher out there. It's brutal, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, for a team that's supposed to be this great defensive team that was built defense right up this year, so far, they haven't impressed me at all with their defense.
I mean, it's too early to make a judgment, but I mean,
oh, this is small sample size.
I mean, you're right about Cameron aiming out hurting the pitchers, but how much would it really hurt them over, you know,
Watch a Red Sox game. Watch Bill Hall out there.
I know, but you know how, like, the difference between the best defender and the worst defender over a full year is, I don't even know, but maybe it's 20 runs or 30 runs, you know what I mean? It's probably a little bigger than that in this case, but that's the whole season. How much is that going to affect one pitcher in a 2 month span, let's say?
Look, I don't
think. A couple of extra runs?
I don't think you're not dropping Josh Beckett. I don't think you should drop John Lester, even though he's really struggling
right now.
You're not dropping either of those guys. I think Lackey will be fine ultimately. You know, he wasn't a guy that I loved this year, but you know, he's not going to fall off the cliff. I think he might as an elite pitcher, but whatever.
Well,
the point is, but maybe you don't spot start like a guy like Wakefield, who I have in a deep in Tout Wars in AL only leagues. And, you know, he had one good start and he's now had two bad ones.
To me, the more important thing is in deeper mixed leagues, Jeremy Hermida becomes an interesting option.
Yes.
He's been playing, hit his third home run last night. Obviously, it's you know, still a decent lineup, not as good as in past seasons. Matthew, Carlos Beltran yesterday found out that he's not been cleared to begin any baseball activities. And we have with us right now on the phone the great Stefania Bell to give us her take on Mr. Beltran, who, you know, the optimistic point of view was he might be back the middle of May, but that kind of depended on him running by now.
Yeah, it does. And I think all along I thought that it would be closer to June. You know, these are a little bit unpredictable. He has an arthritic knee, and that fact hasn't changed, even though he had the surgery to clean it up. So Dr. Stedman, who's the surgeon who did the procedure, is known for being pretty conservative and wanting to protect a knee. So I don't think this is a terribly huge surprise. I think it's probably a disappointment for the Mets and for the Mets fans who were hoping he'd be back on the sooner timetable. I think he's still making progress, and certainly there's been no word of a major setback. So I think this could be framed as a glass half full or half empty. I think that them protecting him probably means that he has a better chance of staying healthy once he does get back.
If I set the over-under at 100 games for Beltran played this year, would you take the over the under?
I take the under at this point because he hasn't done any impact activity without even seeing him run yet, and we have to take the under.
All right, it's fine. You got a bit of a rough connection, so we're going to let you go. I know you're working hard on NFL draft stuff, so you can probably catch Stefania on our ESPN NFL draft coverage, and we'll make sure we get you on the show next week to give a much more detailed opinion on Beltran and all the other injured stars.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks, Stefania.
Bye, guys.
The bye guys came in loud and clear.
Yeah.
All right, Matthew, moving on. It looks like Edwin Encarnacion of the Blue Jays going on the DL.
Red-hot Jose Bautista.
What? What about the red-hot Jose Bautista?
More guaranteed playing time.
I mean, maybe. What I'm hearing is Randy Ruiz, Mike McCoy, you know, because Aaron Hill's about to be back.
Right.
So then Mike McCoy doesn't have to play second base anymore. He's been doing a decent job. Maybe they put him at third base.
Nice.
Bautista did get the start yesterday.
Yeah. But McCoy's got a little speed there. I think he's got 3 steals on the season already.
That sounds about right to me.
Yeah.
Speaking of stolen bases, let's go back to that Boston game.
Yeah.
The Rangers stole 9 bases against Tim Wakefield.
It's a lot.
Wakefield's next start is against the Baltimore Orioles. Are you picking up like Luke Scott and Ty Wigginton? And
if Matt Wieters doesn't get 2 for my team, I'm going to be angry.
I mean, like, would it be ludicrous in, like, a daily league to pick up, like, Cesar Asturias?
No.
I mean...
No, I don't think it would be, actually.
I mean, it's crazy. I don't know what they could possibly do, but with Wakefield and Victor Martinez, but...
It's bad.
You wonder how long he is for that rotation.
Well, and, you know, with Daisuke coming back, I agree with you. I mean, you know, we'll see. Buchholz has struggled somewhat this year as well, so... Be interesting, but my guess is it's they put Wakefield in relief. Which, by the way, looks like they're going to need this year.
Speaking of steals, Matthew, Rafael Furcal already has 6.
Yeah.
He had 20 the last 2 years combined. And you want to talk about guys you're wrong on? I was dead wrong. I mean, if this keeps up, dead wrong on him because I thought his days.
Whoa. Are you actually admitting you were dead wrong on something?
Pod, play the clip again. I was wrong.
Oh, okay.
I do this many, many times.
Except when it's the most obvious time ever.
Those people are idiots. Matthew, over-under on steals this year for Rafael Furcal, 20.
I'm going over.
25.
Over.
I'm with you, actually.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Now, he's 100% owned, so there's not much to be done about it. But, you know, if somebody drafted him and they're looking at flipping him because they think, oh, I'm going to sell high, you think actually take them
mind,
up on the
yes,
offer.
I don't mind selling high because I don't know that the average maintains. But I do think the Dodgers are going to run. I do think the Dodgers are going to run, and as long as he stays healthy, he's going to run.
I think not only the Dodgers are going to run, the Dodgers are going to hit. I mean, Matt Kemp is taking the next step. I mean, he was already a top 10 fantasy player this year, but I mean...
Somebody had him ahead of Ryan Braun and got a lot of crap for him this year.
Not for me.
That's this guy.
Not for me.
Two thumbs pointing at this guy. So all you Braun lovers, I had him at six, but all you Braun lovers, back off!
But you know what? I mean, like, that team, right now, those three outfielders, Kemp hitting 333, Ether 375, yeah. Manny 382, obviously that won't continue, but that is a really good lineup there.
Yeah, it is.
And Furkow's going to score a lot of runs hitting in front of Kemp, Ether, and Manny.
Yep.
Matthew, let's talk about some pitchers from yesterday. Kevin Slowey, 2.45 ERA, 17 strikeouts, 6 walks through 18 and a third.
You know,
I know you were not a Slowey fan.
I was not a Slowey guy in the preseason, and you know, I maintain that. Listen, he's performed fantastic. My issue with Slowey was twofold. Number one is consistency. He has shown flashes of this in the past, but he's never put it all together for a whole season. So we'll see if he can. He may very well and shut me up. But in the meantime, he hasn't been able to do that. And the second thing was my concern, once it gets warm, how target field is going to play in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Because and you never know until you have a whole season. But the initial thought was, based on the dimensions, was that it was going to play much more like a hitter's park than a pitcher's park.
I will not endorse that statement. I don't know where you heard or read that. I have not seen anything like that. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I'm just saying I haven't seen it, and I think it's, barring extreme dimensions, which it doesn't have, I think it's really silly to make those sort of statements. I remember people saying Petco was going to be a hitter's park.
Yeah, I remember that too. I never bought that. I was always on the, I think Petco's gonna be pitcher's park, because I remember I was living in LA and I went down there. I did.
Okay.
I went down there and I saw that stadium before it opened.
Alright.
Because I was doing some stuff for San Diego Radio at that point. But,
San Diego Radio Dropper.
You damn right. Damn right. Help me out. But I'll say this. Well, where I heard it, there are articles on our own site on ESPN.com that you can read. Insider articles, and Buster Olney is a guy that shares that feeling.
All right.
That's where I got that from, was from articles on our site and Buster. I haven't been to the park.
All right.
So those are my concerns on Slowey. That said, obviously a fantastic start.
All right. Carlos Zambrano.
You don't share those concerns. You're all in on Slowey.
I'm all in on Slowey. I think he's a top 30 starting pitcher this year.
Do you think he's a top 20 starting pitcher?
I think he could be, but I wouldn't go that far. But, you know, don't need to, because he wasn't, you know, I'm saying top 30. Where was he drafted in ESPN drafts coming into the year?
Not nearly that high.
I'm looking it up right now. 76 among starting pitchers. So to say top 30 is a pretty strong statement, I would say.
Yes.
Carlos Zambrano, Matthew, after opening
your
day.
Your boyfriend, right?
After opening day. He won't take my calls anymore.
Interesting.
I think we're on a break.
Well, you know what? If you admit you were wrong about Jason Frazier, maybe you would.
I think Z and I are on a break, so I'm allowed to call Kevin Slowey, right?
I believe
Kevin
so.
Slowey and I, we could take in a movie,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. You're on a break. You're on a break.
Since that opening day start, Matthew, 25 strikeouts and 8 walks in 18 innings.
Mm-hmm. He's pitched well.
Owned in 58% of ESPN.com leagues. I'm probably not picking him up as more than a spot starter in ESPN standard leagues, but
worth keeping an eye on, no question.
Yeah, I mean, because very small sample, but now in 3 starts since game one, not only the strikeouts are back, and he hasn't been giving up home runs, so it's kind of like now he's still walking guys, but like Z always walked guys,
right? Exactly,
and he can get away with it if the strikeouts are back. The problem with him the last couple of years is the strikeouts have been down. And the walk stayed the same.
I'm buying it a little bit. I'm buying it a little bit, actually, on Z.
All right.
Because, I mean, I never loved him the way you loved him.
True.
But this preseason...
There wasn't room for it, to be honest.
Nor should there have been.
Nope.
But this preseason, I was like...
He's a big guy, but not big enough to have both my love and your love.
Factually correct. Despite your small stature, you were big in love. So, anyway... Nate, but you had convinced me in this preseason. I was a little bit like, yes, I think the hate's gotten too far with him. Like, you know, that I thought that he was a decent value this year.
Yeah.
So
I would trade for him in NL only.
Yeah.
Matthew, Mike Pelfrey threw 7 scoreless innings yesterday. He's now 3-0.
All in on Pelfrey.
With 16 strikeouts and 8 walks. All in.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm a believer.
So what? He's just, you know, he's going to be back to the guy he was 2 years ago?
Yeah. You know, good reports about him in the off season, about tinkering with some new pitches. And yeah, I'm a believer in Pelfrey. I think he's looked fantastic. And, you know, obviously it's a great ballpark to be a pitcher in.
Right.
And their offense can't be worse.
Well, I mean, you know.
And he's the backup closer.
Another nice game from Jose Reyes yesterday. I mean.
Right.
Beltran will be back at some point.
Yeah. Ike Davis, the newly Jewish Ike Davis. He's not actually newly Jewish.
Okay.
But he's new. I've just discovered, apparently, that he's Jewish.
Okay. Well, his name is Isaac.
Right. So, anyway, I like Ike a little bit more now that I know that he's a fellow tribesman.
Fair enough. Matthew, one more first baseman to talk about. Russ Branyan activated from the DL yesterday.
Right.
Available in 98% of ESPN leagues. Hit 31 home runs last year.
You know, you're going to kill your average.
Yeah.
But no question, if you need some power, he's going to be there every day, first baseman. Laporta starts in left field today.
I mean, he may not kill your average worse than Carlos Pena.
No, that's true. I mean, there's a chance he hits 250.
Yeah, and that's what he hit last year. So.
Right.
Anyway, if you need some power, there's a guy that's out there.
No question.
Dame out. Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
Yeah, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
I find a little weird, I have to ask twice.
Burr.
Couple quick emails here, Matthew. This one from H. That's okay. All I got here, H. Quick question. Standard 12-team 5x5 league was just offered the following trade. I know it's early and I don't have any needs yet, but I would give up Jason Bay and get Jeff Francoeur and Alex Rios. I know it's early, but Bay's not hitting at all. Francoeur is, and Rios is running.
It's Rios for Francoeur, basically?
No, it's Rios and Francoeur for Bay. Would you give up Bay for Rios and Francoeur?
I would not. I think you're selling low on
Bay. I would not. I mean,
I hate Jason Bay this year, but I, you know.
I like Francoeur to take a small step forward this year, but realistically, how much of an upgrade is he over your whatever outfielder you're going to replace, you know, he's going to replace for you? Right. And Rios is clearly a step down from Bay, despite the way the season has started,
right? Does it say how many league teams are in the league?
12 teams.
See, I think you can get a Jeff Francoeur-level guy on the free agent wire in a 12-team league.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably better than those guys, but not much better.
Not much better and not worth the difference between Bay and Rios.
I would agree with you.
By the way, this is what I was looking for. I couldn't find it earlier when we were talking about it, but ESPN Stats and Research, talking about Mike Pelfrey yesterday. I just want to go back to that for a second.
About Mike Pelfrey, okay.
Mike Pelfrey. Anyway, last night in his start, and he threw 39% of his pitches off speed. For the season, he's thrown 32% of his pitches have been off-speed pitches.
Okay.
2008, 2009, he was throwing 20%. So just he's been much, much better and throwing a lot more off-speed stuff, which seems to be helping him.
Okay.
So, I mean, so there's a reason for, you know, and in fact, last night, hitters 1 for 11 with 3 strikeouts against off-speed pitches.
Yeah.
And for the season, 4 of 26.
I'd care a little bit more about this if he had done it before, then stopped doing it, and then now is starting to do it again. Because who's to say that that's going to continue? There's no track record to say that that's going to continue.
This is true.
You're telling us he's doing something differently and it's working for now.
Okay. Correct.
It's better than it not working.
Right. And at least there's some sort of reason, like all of a sudden, you know, is Mike Pelfrey hot?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm buying, is, you know, all I'm saying. Like,
okay.
Right. You can say, hey, I don't.
Fair enough.
I'm not buying. I'm buying.
Listen, he's faced, you know, the Nationals. They obviously stink. At Colorado, that's obviously a really good performance. He had the one inning against St. Louis, and then at home against the Cubs, who are probably a below-average lineup. Maybe average, I don't know.
Right.
National League lineup, probably average.
Listen, well, he faced Z. Z's a good hitter.
Z is a good hitter. Well, one more reason to love him. Take my call, Z. Take him again. Collins from Flintstone, Georgia says, go Blue Tornado.
All right. Go Blue Tornado.
Indeed.
Indeed. I've been trying to cut
really
down on
like
the Indeed.
Well,
do they enjoy
really,
the Indeed?
People really enjoy the
go
so-and-so Indeed.
All right, fair enough.
He says, thinking of trolling Justin Hayward. He says Justin Hayward. Well, the first thing is you need to get the correct name on Jason Hayward.
Unleash the Kraken!
He says, thinking of trolling him for a slow starting star. Starting down my list of targets, how far would you get before deciding to keep Hayward yourself? I'm going to run through the first of these quickly. Fielder, Teixeira, Upton, Tulowitzki, Euclid. You're not. You're happily taking any of those
for Jason Hayward. Yes.
Grady Sizemore.
I'd rather have Hayward.
Wow.
I was down on Hayward in the. I'm sorry. I was down on Grady Sizemore in the beginning.
You were.
As was I. Yeah. So, and he's done nothing so far this year to disprove me.
All right.
He's hitting two. He's barely hitting 200.
Let's go down the list here.
He's been brutal.
Jason
Bay. And he's always an injury risk. Wow. I hate Jason Bay. I like Jason Hayward. You know what? I'll be honest with you. The smart baseball thing would be to do is take Jason Bay.
Yeah.
But I think if I own Jason Hayward, I would just be like, you know what? I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the ride. I'm gonna stay with the Kraken.
Nick Markakis.
I would definitely take Hayward over Markakis.
Adam Jones.
I like Adam Jones a little bit more.
Adam Dunn.
Dunn, I like more.
Carlos Lee. You definitely like Lee more based on what you said yesterday.
Yes.
And Lance Berkman.
Oh, Lance Berkman, I like more.
All right, so it's kind of like, the weird thing is you said definitely no to the top of the list and no to the bottom of the list. The middle of this guy's list, Sizemore, Bain, Markakis, you were like, I'd rather have Hayward. So
yeah.
A little bit of personal preference there.
I think so. It honestly depends on what you believe his ceiling is.
The only guy on this list I would consider keeping Hayward instead of is Berkman. Every other player on this list I would rather have than Hayward.
Wow. You hate Hayward.
I like Hayward.
No,
fine,
you hate him.
It's a little early.
You hate him.
A little early.
Good God. The you're being the Say Nay kid again. You're Nate the Hate.
That's who I am. What do you want me to do? Change the winning formula?
If that's what you call this, sure.
Finally, from Eric, I know it's early in the season, but I'm starting to get a little worried about Ben Zobrist. It's not really the .228 batting average or the lack of power that worries me, but the .279 on base. 14 strikeouts to 4 walks. I'm in a league where walks is a 6th category. Do you still think he can reach the ESPN projections? 20-plus homers? Yes.
Yes.
90 RBIs?
Yeah, on that team? You bet.
Yeah, I mean, that might be a tad high, but in that range. 870 OPS? Absolutely.
I'm with you. I believe in the he's the Zorilla, right?
He is the Zorilla.
Yeah, I believe in him.
He's going to be just fine. This is a 2-week slice of the season. I'm sure he had plenty of 2-week slices last year. In fact, I'm pretty sure he had a month slice in like June or July last year. That was pretty bad. This is a very good player in a really, really good lineup.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
And B.J. Upton, by the way. B.J. Upton now has 4 home runs on the season.
Yeah.
I mean, just kind of an interesting thing, just kind of the opposite. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden, if B.J. Upton's power is legit, if it's, you know, people always thought that it might come in. We've seen flashes of it
right.
over his career, and then he's been banged up. But right. B.J. Upton is—he's on pace for a monster.
He's on pace for a monster year. Could we be talking about B.J. Upton as a top 10 player next year?
We could easily.
Could he be passing Justin Upton, who is off to a very poor start?
Yeah, but he was off to a poor start last year. I'm not worried about Justin Upton, but it's interesting.
It's not outrageous to say who would you take the rest of the year, B.J. Upton or Justin Upton?
No,
it's not outrageous to say.
It's not outrageous. I'd still rather have Justin, but It's a legit conversation.
Yeah.
Who would you rather have?
Probably Justin. I've never been a huge B.J. Upton fan. And, you know, obviously, if the power is legit, if that continues, it changes the whole equation for
him.
Right,
of course.
However, he's hitting .220.
Right.
So, you know, there's a little bit of a trade-off there. And he hit, what did he hit last year? .220?
.240, I think,
241
I was
gonna
say,
last
year. .240.
So if the power arrives, but he hits .240, he hits .240, he's better than last year, but he's still not in Justin's territory.
Absolutely.
This ain't no Diet Soderberg League.
This is the Man's League update.
All right, Matthew, joining us on the phone right now is a man you can't decide whether to love or hate. Although that may have changed the equation a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's Bizarro TMR, who went totally against Matthew Berry's strategy and yet waxed Pod Vader in the Man's League this week. So welcome, Bizarro TMR.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
What is your actual name?
Dennis.
I like Bizarro TMR better.
You're probably better off just changing that. What did we just hear in the background?
My son playing basketball.
Really?
Yeah.
How old is he?
3 years old.
3 years old. Nice, and he's already playing hoops. I like that.
Yeah, Bizarro Jr.
Do you have
Bizarro,
a jump shot?
Yeah. Right. I like that. I like that he's already playing basketball, and he's also clearly unsupervised. That's nice. Yeah. At 3 years old.
Yeah, he's right in the next room on a mini hoop, so he's all right.
Sure, next room, of course.
So, Bizarro TMR, how much of a change was it for you to just completely ignore TMR's advice?
It's actually pretty different because usually I don't draft closers till late. Usually somebody always overpays for that. But I figured with this league, with the way you guys pump the so-called advice throughout the league, some of the guys would be undervalued a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Ichiro fell to me. Sean Figgins fell to me. I mean, there was some advantage on that end as well.
Well, I so far I don't know that Figgins has helped you out that much. I mean, the speed, I guess.
He's got steals.
He's killing you the average.
He got me less than last minute steals in the end of the week to beat Jay in that category.
There you go. We'll see. We'll see. I was surprised that Ichiro fell that much. You know, I didn't love him this year, but we'll see if he keeps up the speed there. But normally, other than those players, that kind of stuff, I mean, were there any other strategies, kind of anti-Matthew strategies that you employed here, other than just specific players and obviously drafting closers early?
Well, I looked at the hate list, and Ichiro was on it, and Sean, and Nate McLaughlin, and obviously I needed to get Dan Heron. I think that was a necessity. I probably reached for him in the second round at that time.
Did not help you last night, my friend.
No, he did not help me last night, but he did get a win, so it wasn't the worst thing in the world, to say the least. But outside of that, there was I had to get a first baseman. I had to shy away from guys that you guys love, and you know, good old Ubaldo throws a no-hitter the week I play Jay.
Well, by the way, you don't have to shy away from guys that, quote, you guys loved, only the TMR loved. You were totally fine with the guys I loved, man.
I was looking for some of those guys, to say the least, and you know, I tried to get Tony Gwynn late. I know you mentioned him.
I don't know that I love Tony Gwynn, but yeah. You got Heron. I love Heron. You got Carlos Pena. I love him. And Ichiro. Those are three of the captains of the Nate Ravitz Love Festival team, whatever.
No, most definitely. So maybe the Bizarro TMR team can really be the Nate team. You never know.
Although I will say this, exhibits A and B against that argument are Carlos Sylvia and Kyle Loesch. What are you doing, dude?
Well, the only reason I got those is because I was chasing wins last week a little bit, and they were actually going up against guys that I was pitching against. So I was actually chasing some wins, so I had two guys pitching in the same game, trying to get some wins that way.
You needed an extra left fielder. That's why you picked up Kyle Loesch.
I could have used him for some hitting, yeah.
I hate Carlos Silva, so it's interesting. You're starting to... I've always hated Carlos Silva.
And you're not exactly a Kyle Loesch fan, are you?
No, I'm certainly not. But I don't hate him with the passion that I hate Carlos Silva. All right, well, listen, Bizarro TMR, how many leagues do you play in there?
This is only my second league this year. I have, living in Columbus, everybody's so pro football, I'm starting to lose my baseball following here in Columbus. So.
Wait a minute, people are pro football? I mean, I assume you mean college football.
College football, yeah, but a lot of my friends are Browns and Steelers fans, and not many people I know still care about the Indians or the Reds these days.
Interesting. What do you do for a living?
I'm actually a sales recruiter.
Interesting. All right.
Headhunter, sales, you know, that's why I had the luxury of being at home today, you know, just making dials from the house.
So. Oh, there you go.
Right, of course. Do you employ anti-TMR tactics in your other life as well?
No, just fantasy baseball. That's the only thing.
Anti-TMR tactics being what? Showing up on time?
Yeah.
Commitment to excellence?
Absolutely. Caring about your job, caring about your coworkers.
Really? Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, phone in Wednesday. That's what I'm doing today.
Nice.
So.
There you go. Perfect. Bizarro TMR, in your other league, so you said you're in two baseball leagues, did you employ anti-TMR tactics in that league as well?
Actually, I did not. They were both auction leagues through ESPN, and I pretty much went with a very cheap pitching staff, like you guys normally do. So I stocked up on hitters early, and then pretty much went with little to no closers at the end, and just a lot of high strikeout guys in my pitching staff.
Seems like he just went with a Bizarro TMR thing for the shtick of this particular league. Seems like he generally emulates me. I mean, look at him. He's playing both leagues on ESPN. He's a company man. Just, you know, I'm sort of getting the sense he's ignoring his child. There you go. Like, I think if I had a 3-year-old kid, he'd be in the other room playing unsupervised. I might even have a 3-year-old kid. Who knows, Nate?
Yeah, at least one.
Exactly.
Although I don't know that 2007 was that good a year for you. So
I'm not saying to be a kid I'm proud of. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, fair enough. All right there, Bizarro TMR. Any questions for us? We got to get out of here.
No, I mean, the only couple of questions that I had, I was talking with my brother yesterday. Yeah. He said that the classic question we ask everybody is what is your second favorite fruit? We know that fresh pineapple is obviously the first one, so what is everybody's second favorite fruit?
Wow, this is as weird a question as Matthew's go-to. What's the weirdest question? What's the question you weren't asked?
First off, I'll say this right now.
Hold on a minute. Ryan Russillo just walked into the
studio. The great Ryan Russillo, host of NBA Today's podcast.
Well, it's good to see that he's here because, frankly, I've been getting a little worried that Mike Yam's been trying to steal his job lately.
Listen,
By the way, Mike Yam, who I consider a friend.
Right. You could. Yeah, go on in.
Ryan's going to wander in here. Ryan, we've got on the phone a member of the Man's League right now.
Yeah.
And he just asked us what might be the weirdest question I've ever been asked.
Which was,
what is your second favorite fruit?
And he claims that fresh pineapple is the first favorite fruit. I'll just tell you this right now.
Yeah, he claimed it as like a fait accompli.
Which is
like,
not
obviously,
true.
Fresh pineapple is number one.
It's not.
I feel like fresh pineapple, though, in any fruit basket.
It's pretty good.
Gets taken out quicker. They're like, if you will, the first round. They're the keepers.
Right, nice. So, talking our language.
So what's your answer?
Well, my number one fruit is strawberries. That's my number one fruit is strawberries. And my second favorite fruit is probably a banana.
I like the mango.
Really? Mango? That's an odd choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of getting that little dish of raspberries going. Yeah. I had some this morning.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Look how fresh and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed
you are. Ready to take on the world.
I'm going with the pineapple and then the watermelon.
So you agree that the pineapple's the number one draft pick?
I do believe that. Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Pineapple's so low on my list. You are the bizarro TMR. Like, I like watermelon more. I like apples more.
What possessed you and your brother to come up with this question?
Well, it's the same thing Ryan said. Every time you're in a fruit salad, anytime you're near something, it's not the canned pineapple. It is the fresh pineapple. And I figured Matthew, as a parrot head, would know fresh pineapple is number one. So.
Well, that pineapple, obviously, in the parrot head community, in the Jimmy Buffett community, yeah, obviously has a
nice
special
little
meaning.
Slice of it in the pina colada.
Sure, of course. But listen, let me tell you something. Usually, ideally, you're drunk enough, you don't care what fruit there is. You've had enough margaritas that doesn't matter what kind of fruit you got.
Touche.
There you go.
Fair enough. Well, thank you very much, Bizarro TMR, for that bizarre question.
And hey, no problem.
Good luck the rest of the year in the Man's League.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
All right.
There you go. Bizarro TMR there.
Huh? Well, Ryan, you've been saying we should get you on the show. Did you
think really
that's how it would be?
I'm a little nervous. Thanks for having me.
I'll tell you this much. You know who we never have on the show?
Mike Yam.
Oh.
No, we have firmly placed our love and support in the Ryan Russillo NBA Today podcast camp and not in Yammer.
You might say we've got a Yam ban.
Yeah.
Where are yams on the fruit list?
Are yams fruits?
I don't even think they are fruit.
Can we check that?
I'm not sure they're a vegetable.
No, I can't do it 5 days a week. I can barely do it three. You guys are done?
Hasn't stopped us.
Oh. Are you taking off your headphones for a reason? Are we leaving?
We're just about ready to wrap. Well, we don't need the headphones to hear you. We only needed the headphones to hear Bizarro.
I just felt like it was a little more professional when you guys had them on. That's all.
Well, it's one of the reasons we take them off. Look, there's nothing professional about this whole operation. Do you understand? It's Nate and I in a closet next to Jay Soderberg, who's not even paying attention to our show.
You're familiar with that.
No, I actually just like it when he doesn't pay attention to my show.
Right. When you're doing your show, Ryan.
Yes.
Just curious. And you look up and you want something from Jay. Is he usually on the phone talking
to
somebody else?
I don't really ask him for anything. The only thing he's doing is fighting with his wife. Whenever I walk in the door, he is fighting with his wife on the phone. And I finally, at one point when I was comfortable enough, I said, dude, do you fight with your wife all day in here? And you're like, no. And then, of course, literally 42, I don't know why I came up with that. 48 hours later, I'm right back in here doing the podcast, and I walk in the door, and he picks up the phone, and he's screaming at his wife. And I'm like, what happened? And then he actually says to his wife, yeah, Ryan's here. He definitely thinks we're fighting. So you've talked about this with her. Now, I don't want to say you were screaming at her, but it seemed to be a mutual argument. But
Yeah, screaming is a bit... It's a bit
I'm trying to sell it for
exaggerated,
the podcast.
Exaggerated, yeah.
I'm trying to build it up.
I mean, you'd think that when you were here in the office that your wife would have very little to complain about.
You would think. But apparently I don't pay enough attention to her even when I'm away from
One time she called in and she's like, I can't believe the soccer podcast isn't up yet.
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
Right.
Wow. Are you upset?
She loves her soccer.
Really?
Net. Right.
Oh, okay.
I'm not surprised to hear that is a complaint of Queen Podmadala. Because... Look, I mean, he doesn't pay enough attention here.
Right.
So are you surprised that he also doesn't pay enough attention at home?
No.
He's got ADD. That's your problem, Pod.
Well, I'm so glad that psychologist Matthew finally figured out.
There's some salt in that answer.
Listen, let me tell you something right here. Speaking as a divorced man, I know about failed marriages.
All right.
Well, mine's certainly going down that track.
Wow. No, stop. I've been out with you and your wife. You guys are a lovely couple.
You are.
I'm totally kidding. But yeah, you guys are a great couple. She's fantastic for putting up with you.
Yeah, and she just apparently, whenever you guys disagree, it's right during the NBA Today podcasting tape.
Which you're about to do right now. What's coming up on the show?
I don't know. I think we have
Lawrence
the guy from
Frank.
Mark Shadow, the sixth guy off the bench.
There you go.
And then,
nice.
We might get to playoffs. I played in a pickup game yesterday. I'm going to run you through play-by-play of that.
Really?
Three games in a row, so we'll start
with
that.
That's good stuff. Oh, that'll be exciting.
But, and no Mike Yam.
No. God, no.
But did you play in the, what was last, did you play in the kind of the ESPN one that Gottlieb plays in?
I played
Mike
in it
Hill
once. You gotta sign up ahead of time.
Yes.
I used to play in that.
I used to play in that too.
Some of the players are really good, but the first and only time I went, I wanted to fight another guy that was there, so I decided to stop
you're
going.
You're gonna have to tell us who that is.
He actually moved. He stopped working here.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I was so annoyed with him. He was like being, he was trying to like prove a point because I was new and
Peter
he was being
Gammons?
I was just gonna say Peter Gammons all the way until he's done. I had the same joke. I knew it.
It definitely wasn't Peter Gammons.
Well, he throws some bows on the basketball court.
Really? Peter, is this the
Peter,
word that he's
Peter Gammons throws so many illegal picks, it's insane. He camps out in the paint.
Moving screens.
He's tons of moving screens.
You know who sits a lot of moving screens is Bob Lee.
Oh,
a ton.
I've seen it a million times.
All right.
Well, on that note.
But best we get out of here, because Matthew and I being fired is one thing, but we certainly don't want to lose.
Yeah, I don't want to be fired.
We certainly don't want to lose the host of NBA Today and co-host of the Scott Van Pelt Show.
There you go.
Well, that was really nice of you to say that. It's amazing, though. Like, I try to do edits, and now I realize why Pod Vader looks at me and goes, why do you... You don't have to start over. It's not a big
fine.
Deal.
It's fine. It's
I still
fine.
Want to start over and edit stuff.
Right.
Can we actually do this over again?
This whole little segment?
Well, here's the difference. You're a broadcasting professional.
Yep.
Nate and I are a couple of fantasy monkeys.
Yep.
And the
there
thing
you go.
Is yours is actually probably more listenable. So, congratulations.
On that note, busy show, right?
Busy.
Stefania Bell was here. Bizarro TMR.
And
the great Ryan Russillo.
Yep. A lot of action.
And you know, just kidding, Mike Yam.
Yeah,
you're
no,
a good guy.
We love you, but just so you know, we support the Ryan Russillo one.
All right.
Because he's come in and Yammer has it.
We're out of here.
Peace out.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more baseball talk, be sure to check out Baseball Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.